All right, everyone ready? Seems like we're sitting here looking at our watch. Come on, it's time. But we don't want to start early if somebody was running a little close to time, so they say we started early. So I may have jumped the gun 30 seconds or so tonight. So we'll forgive everybody if they're 30 seconds late. Amen? All right, so how many has been enjoying the Torah? Torah teachings are phenomenal, and they're for our benefit. They're to get us ready to do what Yehovah has called us to do. How many know we've been called to do, we're on a mission? And we're not supposed to sit back, as the last Torah taught us, and be one who's constantly in need for milk. But we are to mature, we're to grow, and become teachers. So everybody that goes around says, well, I'm not a teacher. You are a teacher. I mean, you had kids and you raised your children. You taught them, you're a teacher. So now you're just changing positions. You're taking on the information of the Torah and you turn around and you explain and help other people with the Torah. So we all have the ability to be able to teach, and we ought to be apt to teach. The scripture tells us to be apt to teach. Be ready. Be available and say, don't continually tell yourself that you can't. Because you can, because you've done it before and with other things. So you've had messages that you taught your children. You've had messages maybe you taught a coworker because you worked there first, so you was able to train them. You was able to show them. People who maybe wanted to do a study underneath you and came up and you was able to show them. And so you have an ability to do it. The message is just different. That's all it is. The information's different. And so you're taking the information of the Torah and you're doing the same thing. You're able to explain. And that's what I was telling Pastor Josh earlier. God is getting us ready to be able to perform at a level where we're not going to be ashamed of what comes out of our mouth. We're going to be sharp. We're going to be able to go back and relate to the Torah portion that needs to be talked about that handles whatever situation that somebody's up against. We're going to be able to go back to the scripture and say, this is what happened, this is what these guys did, and this is what we ought to do. You're going to be able to do that. The more we continue in it, you're going to be able to navigate through the text, just like you navigate through the things that you mastered in your regular life. You master things. Some of you can go and take a boat, and you can drive it through the canals and go all over, and don't matter if it's dark or daylight. It don't matter. I've seen you do it time and time again. Because you mastered it, you went through it, and your confidence is high. You can't have a low confidence level when you're doing that type of work. Because that's how you get hurt, or somebody else gets hurt. You gotta have confidence. Now you can't be overconfident either, because you get in trouble when you're overconfident. And so the Torah teaches us that he don't want us to have no confidence in ourselves, but don't be overconfident. You're gonna be able to do it up to your means, and you know what your means are. You know what you study. You know what you apply to your life. You better turn around and speak those things out and have confidence in doing that. And that's what the Torah is all about. It's to train us and prepare us. And we're going to see that in this Torah portion here. You're going to see how critical that is. Because it starts here. Everybody say it starts here. And how many remember I preached the message, Positions Everything? That was right after Katrina. As I was up behind this building right here, up on that levee right there, just to the north of that big crater that was cutting the levee. How many remember that crater that was cutting the levee? I was just to the north of it, standing there, and I was communicating with the Lord. And the Lord brought this passage that I'm going to read to you to my attention. I want you to go read this. And so I went and read it. And he spoke these words to me, Positions Everything. Don't give up your position for nothing and for no reason. Now, you might have heard me say that over and over again in times past. You've heard me say that. And I'm saying it again because I was reminded of that when I read this Torah portion, how important that is. And when I started to read this, back then I was only going off what I knew. That's all I was going off, the information I had. But I knew the Lord was leading me in that direction. Because how many know God took time with us? He took time with me, and he made sure to give it to me in spots in increments that I was able to take in, chew, and digest. And I'm so thankful that he did that, because we are where we are today because God was patient with us. That's just the bottom line. He was patient. Now, he can't be patient with people who are hard-headed and snort all the time. Now, this snorting thing, I never kind of got on it, but I might get on it a little bit tonight when I get to those slides. So, because sometimes people get excited. Like, how many of you have been laughing so hard you had such a laugh that a snort came out? It happens. It happens because the air is going through at such a fast force or being taken in, you can't help it. That's what happens. It comes out. But it also happens when you go to sleep and you're so sound asleep, you snore. I don't know why my wife's pointing at me like that. So I remember when it first happened, we riding in the truck, and my wife, she's always doing this kind of stuff. We riding in the truck, and all of a sudden I hear something coming from, what is that noise? She said, and she's killing herself laughing. She's playing the on her phone. I said, what is that? She said, that's you. I said, that ain't me. She said, don't tell me. I stayed up to 3 o'clock in the morning recording this. Don't tell me that ain't you. So I let it go. I said, okay, ha, 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 ha. That's funny. So, how many know I got her back? It don't happen very rarely. Sometimes, you know, I'm either up late or up early. But this one particular night, I go in there, she's already sound asleep, and I went, what is that noise? I raised the blanket up. I'm looking, what is that noise? I look over there, and she's sound asleep. So I got my phone, and I recorded her. So we got in the truck, and I put play on. She said, what's that noise? I said, ha, ha, ha. And I snorted a couple times myself. So it happens to you. You got to just be careful. And he teaches us we got to be alert when these things are happening. So let's get into this. Portion number 7, Vayetze. Hebrew for, and he left. And he left. Genesis 28, verse 10 through 32, verse 3, and Malachi chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, 7. So this week's portion, Jacob leaves his home in Beersheba and journeys to Charan. On the way, he encounters the place. Everybody say the place. Remember, the place is very important. Position is everything. If you want Jehovah to work in your life, you must be where he's appointed you to be at that time. And everybody has an appointed time that you're to be in a certain place doing a certain thing. And sometimes we think, well, this is just how our life is. And I was thinking about this all week. Just stuff that happens in our life. I was thinking about Brother Herman and Sister Molina. And think about being in the right place at the right time to bring about what God's doing right now and how important that was. But somebody had to say yes, because on the other side of yes is where the blessing is. Remember, it's not until you leave home that the blessing. And then we've seen that in Abraham's life. Now we've seen it in Jacob's life. He leaves. He leaves the security of a father and a mother and an angry brother. And we can say, well, it was the angry brother that really drove him. We can make an argument for that. But he was being obedient to Jehovah. He was trying to find the place. Remember, he was trying to get to a spot where he can hear from the Lord for himself. Now, he'd been trained. He had heard the stories of his father. He heard the stories of his grandfather. He heard all of this stuff. But he is now having to hear for himself And in order to do that, he had to find the place for that to happen. And then, you know when it happened. You knew when you got to that place. When you got to that place, Jehovah started doing stuff that was just beyond your ability to comprehend it. How he was putting stuff in order, fixing things, moving things out. Unsupported personality, he would get them out of the way and he put you until everything blossoms and comes. So you've seen it in real time happen in your own life. So what makes us think that he won't continue to do that if we get to those places that he wants us to be? And some of the places he wants us to be, he wants us to be in a place where we can begin to deliver the Torah the way he wants us to. We can share this word without fear. The only time fear comes is when we haven't put the time in. I shared this with you last week. When I'm struggling with it, when it just won't come together and I'm distracted, I stop and pray. Just stop, because you got to pray. Because let me tell you, when you pray, you get in a spot. Now you found the spot, and then you go and it just all comes together. It's beautiful. And there's nothing like it. And I've seen him do it time and time and time again in my life. Because sometimes we say, well, I'm not working. I'm not working on Shabbat. But we're still distracted on Shabbat. You got to pray for no distractions. You got to call on his name that you have no distractions, because we might not be working, but we're thinking about what we got to do. And it's just no different than working. You understand? So we can get the outside working good and we can show like we got it figured out. But on the inside, we're still struggling with it. We can't have those struggles. It can't happen. And I can tell you, the only way you can get it to work, you got to pray yourself out of those positions. Because prayer gets you in the place. How many know we want to find the place? So he encounters the place and sleeps there, dreaming of a ladder connecting heaven and earth with angels climbing and descending on it. Now, I'm going to show you here in a little bit that I'm not so sure that what we've believed all these years about it being angels. Because we're going to read it slow. We're going to look at it careful. Let me ask this question. Can messengers be men? Just think about that. And I'll show you why I'm leaning more heavily toward that. Elohim appears and promised that the land upon which he lies will be given to his descendants. In the morning, Yaakov raises the stone on which he laid his head as an altar and a monument. Pledging that it will be made the house of Elohim. So these are going to be some good things. I'm hoping that if we can get these two done tonight, we'll be in good shape. So I'm going to leave the rest of these topics. I won't even cover them. So we'll leave this for Pastor Josh for in the morning. He can cover these last three. But, how far we get, we can only go as far as we can. But I'm going to read Genesis 28, verse 10, the whole text here. I want to read it, and I want you to carefully listen to it. And Yaakov went from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came upon a place. He came upon a place and stopped over for the night, for the sun had set. And he took... He took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he laid down in that place to sleep. Think about that. And he dreamed, and he saw a ladder set up on the earth, and its top reached to the heavens. So I want you to get this picture in your mind, what he saw in this dream. So he's laying there on a stone. Everybody say stone. I don't want you to think cozy. I don't want you to think my pillow. I want you to think stone. Everybody understand that? Stone. Because remember, he takes a stone and he lays the stone down. He lays his head on the stone. Now, why did he do that? Because he found the place. He knew it was no doubt. This is it. This is where I need to be. So now he's got a stone. But the next morning, and what does he dream first? What does he dream? He sees a ladder. And the ladder's attached to where first? Earth. Everybody say earth. And it reaches up to the what? To the heavens. So see it as he sees it. He sees the stone. He lays it. He relaxes on this stone. He has this dream. He sees this ladder. And his eyes, first of all, in his dream, he sees the ladder attached first to where? Earth. And it reaches to the heavens. I want you to see it as he saw it. And he saw messengers of Elohim going up and coming down on it. Now, I want to talk about this for a little bit, because he saw messengers going up first. From where? If you're going up, you was first at the earth. That's why I'm saying to you tonight that these messengers aren't necessarily angels, but men who ascend and descend. And who are we ascending and descending on? In this ladder representation, who is this ladder representative of? Yeshua. Now, doesn't it make more sense that he came to save humanity? And once we come to Yeshua, we have a job to do. And what is that job? It's to ascend and descend. And what gives you that ability is when you have been delivered the truth or the message, now you are a messenger. How many of you know that you're a messenger? All of you here are messengers. You've been delivered the message, now you're a messenger, and you started out just regular folks. There was no dream until Jacob got to the place. There was no dream or no ladder. There was none. But once he had this dream, now he's seeing what Jehovah is trying to get him to understand. How many see he took Abraham from a place to a different place, from one place to another? And then we see Isaac really never left. How many seen that as we're going through the Torah? He kind of stayed. But then we got Jacob. Now he's leaving because he's got to go find a bride. And so we see in these shadow pictures of what Jehovah is trying to tell us. And I don't know how you even begin to try to understand the Brit Hadishah without Torah teaching. I don't even know how you start. Unless you're trying to figure it out on your own and you gotta make twists and turns and come up with slogans and ideas. But if you stay with the Torah, you don't have to come up with anything. You just let it say what it says. It's beautiful. And so he sees this top. He saw messengers of Elohim going up and coming down on it. And see, Jehovah stood above it and said, I am Jehovah Elohim of Abraham, your father, and the Elohim of Yitzhak, the land on which you are lying. The land on which you are lying. Now, did he feel like relaxing from the time he left home to the time he got here? There was no relax. All he thought was Esau was going to get me. So you're not, he might have leaned over on his elbows and kept his eyes dozed off every now and then, but he was watching because Esau was on hot on my trails. But this didn't happen here. This here, when his head hit that stone, he was out into a dream. And Jehovah was able to take him because he wasn't fighting flesh anymore. He has surrendered completely to Jehovah, and now he can show him exactly what my plan is for your life. And that's where he took him. And he showed him this dream. He says, I'm the Elohim of Yitzhak, in the land on which you are lying, I give it to you and your seed. Now we see the covenant being spoken not through Abraham, not through Yitzhak, but straight to Yaakov, straight to him. From the voice of Jehovah, he's speaking to to Jacob, and he's saying, I'm giving it to you and your seed. Now, he needed to hear that. How many know sometimes you need to hear the right message? You can be going and struggling with things, and you come to a Shabbat service, and you hear that right message, and it does something for you, and it propels you to the next few days. You're ready to roll. And the very thing that you thought of quitting, the very thing you felt like giving up on, you didn't give up on it, and good thing you didn't, because Jehovah had the blessing waiting for you around the next bend. And you hung in there, because he's going to encourage you like that. There'll be times in our life that but you got to get in the place for that to happen. I mean, I know that it's very important to get to that spot. When you get to that spot for that word to come forth, you're ready for it. Everybody that's going to live for Jehovah needs a ladder in their life. You can't live for them without the ladder, because that ladder represents Yeshua. I mean, see how that makes sense. Now, on Yeshua's, what he provided for us, we didn't have the ability to come out from being babes who were just on milk. We come out from, we definitely off the formula. We're not on the formula. Now we're on the mother's milk. And we come off of mother's milk, and now we're on the meat of the word. And now we're able to be taught and trained on what to do and when to do it, what to say and when to say it. We're able to be taught those things, and that's very important. And you're not taught, you know, we're not here to learn so we can know it. We're here to be messengers. Amen? How many want to be a messenger for the Lord? And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Now listen to this covenant. And you shall break forth to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. Now notice this breaking forth. It's to the north. It's in every direction. He's not just going to break forth in one direction. Now we know that Abraham was sent in a sort of in one direction. He crossed over. He crosses over, and when he crosses over, he gets to the land, and he becomes a Hebrew. But he's only going from one spot to one spot. And his lifespan didn't allow him to have that breakout, but yet he was promised, look at the stars, so shall your seed be. He's promised the covenant, but his life, it was going to come through his children. And so Isaac, he didn't go anywhere. Kind of stayed. But how many know he got the right wife who could hang in there and carry through until the miracle comes forth? She had to be a special lady. And God used him greatly. But he didn't really go anywhere. But think about this. Now Jacob, he's leaving home and he's going somewhere, and then God tells him, I'm the same God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and I'm your God. And I'm going to do everything through your seed. He's telling him that. Now listen, he says, but you're going to go forth from the west and to the east, the north and the south, and all the clans of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your seed. All the clans of the earth shall be blessed. What does that mean, all the clans shall be blessed? I want you to think about that. If all the clans shall be blessed, he's not saying, he's not talking about just the tribes of Israel. He's talking about all. Literally, he means all the human race. Those in the west, those in the east, those in the north, and those in the south from this place will be blessed. Think about that promise that he's given. Blessed in you and in your seed. And see, I am with you. Now, this is encouraging words. And nothing you want to hear more than these words right here. I am with you. I am with you and shall guard you wherever you go. And shall bring you back to this land, for I am not going to leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. That's encouraging. That's stuff that'll get you going right there. When you got that confidence, when you know somebody's told you, I guarantee you, I'll be there tomorrow. Well, if you had a big job to do and you needed that person to be there, you're not going to wrestle with that in the night. You got a guarantee from them. You took them at their word. You can't wait to get up in the morning because you know now finally you got help to get the job done that you've been waiting to do because you couldn't do it by yourself. It's encouraging. Can you imagine Yaakov trying to take on this job without Yehovah being with him? It's impossible. And Yaakov awoke from his sleep and said, "Truly, Yehovah is in this place, and I did not know it." Truly, he's in this place, and I did not know it. You ever wondered why he said, "I did not know it"? Because even in this, him waking and realizing what just had happened, he was still looking at himself. Could I have carried myself better, knowing that he was in this place? Could I have sharpened my skills? Could I have been more cautious? Did I say something wrong? Was my posture right before him? This is the kind of guy Yaakov was. Truly the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of the heavens." Because that's that feeling, that overwhelming feeling of knowing that he's there. There's no better feeling than that. Yes, how many of you ever felt alone? You feel alone, you feel isolated. And it's a terrible feeling. Because anxiety comes and you're bombarded with all sorts of problems that you can't solve. And that's all you're thinking about, but you're alone. And there's nothing that feels better than when you know that Yehovah comes next to you and you feel a relief from that being isolated and you know he's there with you. It's a liberating feeling. It's so wonderful and awesome. It makes you just want to weep and show emotion. It makes you want to sing. It makes you want to cry out to him. That's what it does when he comes alongside of you. And think about Yaakov. Truly, he felt this. Yehovah is in this place, and I did not know. He was afraid, and how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of heaven. And Yaakov rose early in the morning and took the stone. Everybody say stone again. He took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a standing column. Now, if he set it up as a standing column, there's a reason for that. It stood up as a standing column because it needs to be remembered that what happened here is going to be very important for the rest of our life. He poured oil on the top of it, means he anointed it. So if he anointed this stone, and he called the name of that place Beth-El, however the name of it, of that city, had been Luz previously. And Yaakov made a vow saying, "Seeing Elohim is with me and has kept me in this way that I'm going and has given me bread to eat and a garment to put on, when I have returned to my father's house in peace and Yehovah has been my Elohim, then this stone which I have set as a standing column shall be Elohim's house, and of all that you give me, I shall certainly give a tenth to you." Pastor Josh will be getting on that part. We're not going to get there tonight. But he's going to get there. So the first word we see used in the beginning of this Torah portion is Vayetze, which has the meaning, "and he went," and the root word that is used here is Yetzah. Strong's H3318, which means to go or come out, brought, came, go forth, depart, go forward, or proceed. And so the journey begins for Yaakov as he went out from his father's house to go and seek for himself a bride. Now we see another shadow picture here. As Yaakov goes out and seeks a bride, who else is going to go out and seek a bride? Yeshua is going to go forth to seek his bride. So what is the bride supposed to be doing right now? Preparing to make sure that she's dressed accordingly that meets the requirements of the bride in which Yeshua seeks. So do we have any work to do? You better believe we have work to do. Well, let me tell you. Is it better for us while we're working on these things to be ascending and descending on Yeshua on a daily basis, learning the Torah and getting prepared, or just say, we got this, we'll take care of it. There's a seven-step book I'm reading right now. I've got it all figured out. Sometimes them seven-step books get you in a lot of trouble. I don't know why you need a seven-step book when we got 54 portions. To me, that's the steps we need. I got a good book for you, 54 of them. And they get us right through it. They'll teach us the right, correct way. The journey began. He went to look for himself a bride, and he went from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Yaakov went out from Beersheba, Strong's H884, which means well of oath or well of seven. Well of oath or well of seven from two words. Number one, the Hebrew, the primitive root word of seven, which is Sheva. Strong's 87651. And from this word, we get the denominative root verb, Shavah. Strong's 87650, which means to swear, exchange oath, take an oath, a vow. And number two, the Hebrew word for well is Bira. Strong's H875, it means well or pit, which comes from the primitive root word Baar, or Baer. Strong's H874, which means to make distinction, to make plain, expound on, inscribe. And by analogy, it means to engrave, and figuratively, it carries the understanding to explain, make clear, or declare. It is also at Beersheba that we see how Abraham called upon the name of Yehovah, the everlasting El, El Olam. That's in Beersheba, Genesis 21:33. Number two, Yitzhak built an altar and called upon the name of Yehovah after Yehovah appeared to him in Genesis 26:23-25. And third, we have Yaakov brought an offering to Yehovah. Yehovah spoke to him and confirmed the covenant. That's in Genesis 46:1-3. So we see these encounters all happen here in this place. In a sense, we can see that Yaakov went from a place of obedience, understanding the oath sworn to Abraham, Yitzhak, and going toward Haran. Strong's H2771, which means mountaineer or crossroad. It is a clear picture of tracing back his grandfather's steps, as this is a place that Abraham has stopped on route to the promised land after leaving Ur of the Chaldeans and dwelt there until the death of his father. It was a city where Abraham had gathered great possession and acquired many beings, and it was the place where Abraham's brother Nahor settled and was also known as the city of Nahor. And Nahor was the grandfather of Laban and Rivka. This city was also at one time an Assyrian provincial capital. This was the place where Yitzhak's bride was called out of, and now Yaakov too was receiving his bride from here. As discussed in the previous portion, we know that the meaning of the name of Nahor, Strong's H5152, is snorting. Remember we covered that last week? Which can render a couple of very real pictures for us as we understand the need to call the bride out of Babylon. What happens when you try to call a bride out of Babylon? The English word for snorting means to force air violently through the nose with a rough, harsh sound to emit explosive sounds resembling snorts. And this can, in a manner of speaking, picture an aggression of the church that snorts at the call to come out of the traditions and dogmas of man. If you talk about traditions and dogmas of man in a conversation, whether it's family member or not, you're going to probably get snorted at. As well as giving us a picture of those who are in a very deep sleep and are snoring loudly. Snorting is an explosive sound from the nostrils, which can be done as an exact aggression and anger, or can be achieved by someone who is so exhausted and flat on their back and snoring extremely loudly. A health guide quote, we had this last week. I'll give it to you again. Snoring and snorting are often a common problem which anyone can have while asleep. These are usually caused by blockages in the air passage in the throat. This condition poses a problem to the health of a person if left untreated. This is a powerful picture of many who are asleep, so to speak, and are snoring or snorting depending on how deep asleep they are. As a result of blockages in their ability to properly submit, a proper submission of the breathing in the fear of Yehovah. It's hard to submit to it because you question everything. You go, man, well, how in the world can we be doing it this long and not know? We had eyes to see, but didn't see. We had ears to hear, but didn't hear. We had a heart to know, a mind to know, but didn't know. And until we are introduced to the truth of coming to the place and realizing that we don't get to build our access from earth to heaven. Somebody built that for us. His name's Yeshua. And we got to do what he does, say what he says, and love what he loves, and hate what he hates. That's just the bottom line. I know we're trying to figure it out in many different denominations and traditions and dogmas. We try to make it fancy and proper, and we do it this way or we do it that way. You can do it all the ways you want. None of them matter, and you don't until you get to the place. And when you get to the place, it'll change your life forever. So little did I know this is what God was up to. I had no idea. I thought this was another message. This is a great message. Lord, I could preach this. I preached it everywhere I went. Positions everything. Little did I know, he was setting me up. I didn't know that, but see, somebody, what I had to do is I had to be comfortable with it so I could take the stone and put my head on it, and now God revealed this to me, but I didn't understand it fully. How many understand that? I had eyes to see, but couldn't see it clearly. Ears to hear, but couldn't hear it clearly. But what he was doing, he was getting me ready. He was softening me up, getting me ready to unfold himself. And so what happened, when the snorting stops, you breathe in the fear of Yehovah and you realize what he's trying to do is help me here. It was not to hurt me. He wasn't trying to say everything you've been doing was wrong. What he was trying to tell me, he says, I want to show you how to do it right. And I had to be submissive to it. You got to yield to it. Let me tell you, before I said anything here to this church, the Lord showing me all this stuff. And for about a month straight, I was staying up all hours of the night, just pumping it in. And I was like, I see all this, Lord. I see this. But I can't say none of this. This ain't going to work nowhere. I don't care where I go, this will never work. This is my reasoning with it. There's no way I could say this. They're going to laugh me out of town. This is crazy. This stuff's crazy. This don't fit nowhere. Think about it. I wrestled with that for a long time. Until the one day he says, if you don't going to do what I ask you to do, then I'm finished with you. I'll raise up somebody. Somebody's going to say it. But you're going to do what I ask you to do, or I'm done with you. You might as well go back fishing. full time. Just go full time. Because I can't use you. Well, that scared me. And then I really wasn't sleeping. Because I had all this information, but I didn't know how to put it together. I had a lot of data, but didn't know how to deliver it. And so the Lord was patient with me and gave me an opportunity and took us the route. He said, if you do everything I tell you to do, you'll see what I'll do in this. You got to be cautious. You don't go and demand anything. You just deliver the message. I want you to get on this ladder, and I want you to go straight up. When you get up there, your life will be changed. You'll look into His glory, and you'll never be the same. Then I'm going to send you back, and then you'll be the messenger. I mean, understand, I experienced this. And to carry this as a person that's by yourself to a church, not only to a church, but to be involved in the ministry as we were as a whole, it was outreach in the ministries. It was very difficult. And so I had to weigh it out. You know what I weighed it against? Eternity. And I said, if I weigh it against eternity, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to do what you said. I don't care what happens. If I'm by myself, preaching to myself, that's exactly what I'll be doing because I know it's the truth. It's what you said. And so I took in a deep breath of the fear of Jehovah, and the snorting was gone because I was debating, Lord, there got to be something. I'm missing something here. Surely I'm missing something. I got to be missing something. Because it was that shift was that big of a change. From mainstream to what we're doing now was a big change. But we didn't get here overnight. We took our time and let God do the building. He said, except I build a city, you build it in vain. Let me do the building. And He's the master at it. How many know He's the master at it? And so that's kind of been our journey. But I can tell you, I was like a scared kid for a long time because I knew it was a fact, but I couldn't explain it. And so I had to deliver myself to the Lord completely and let Him come and give this covenant a promise, and He was going to do what He said He would do. Now, once I see it as the truth, it's the truth. You ain't got to buy into it. That's up to you. You ain't got to do anything, but I must preach the truth. And I thank God that He was with me the entire time. Because I wouldn't know how we could have it any other way now. It wouldn't make sense. And I'm so thankful for it. I give Him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. So we breathe in the fear of Jehovah, and by that I mean that those who are asleep to the truth are not walking in the spirit of Elohim. I don't want to be asleep to the truth. I want to know the truth because the truth sets us free. And now we quoted that often. We quoted that you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. You shall know the truth and the truth. And people are still quoting it today. Well, they don't want to know the truth. They don't know. They want to be free, but don't want to know the truth. Freedom in their own way, their own method. They want to be free. I want to free myself. Let me tell you, when you walk in the spirit of Elohim, is something that happens. But or rather walking according to the lust of the flesh and following the teachings of men, as a result, the worries of life and the deceitfulness of the wealth chokes out the word of life. And that's what He's trying to give us. The moment you put your foot, and I'm so glad it was a ladder. I can't tell you how thankful I am because I took one rung at a time. And when I learned about that one rung, I was ready now for the next rung. And I learned about that, and I was ready for the next one. I'm so glad it was a ladder. And let me just tell you, He's not trying to tell us, you got to know everything up here where Jehovah's at instantly. It's one step at a time. And being faithful to that one step, and no turning back, and no mixing it. You got to stay faithful to it. And eventually, He'll bring it all to pass the way He did. And I'm just grateful for it. It is time for the true, sober, and awake servants of Elohim to go and boldly proclaim to many who still among those who are sleeping, wake up and come out of her. Now, He's speaking of those who are in Babylon. And so we have a world system that's happening, and it's no different than Babylon. This world system's in place. You're not going to change it, and I'm not going to change it. That's not our fight. The one who changes that is Yeshua. When he comes, just the sheer presence of his glory is going to change it. Remember that. His kingdom is going to be set up on earth when he comes. Our job is not to change that now. Our job is to be messengers of what he's doing actively in our life as we are loving the truth, guarding the truth, we're obeying the truth, and when we're actively doing it, now we have a testimony. We can actually testify about what's happening in our life. We're not trying to go around and tell somebody, you need to do this and you need to do that. We're not doing it. We got to be faithful to it. We got to get involved in it. We got to run to get it done. We got to be passionate about it. You got to show your passion to it, to the Lord. When you do that, and you do it consistently. So it may not happen the first time you do it. You may not get a whole lot out of it. The second time you do it, maybe not a whole lot. But the more he sees consistency in the third and fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, now it's a part of your life. You can expect the blessings of Jehovah to come. It's going to be powerful. But our job is to say, wake up and come out of her. We're to wake up people for them to come out of Babylon. And how can we do that if we're still in Babylon? That doesn't make sense, does it? You can't call somebody out of something that you're still in. It don't work that way. That's why I always caution people. Don't go out and project yourself because you've accomplished something. And then look at somebody who's not there yet and you frown upon them. Because the measure you measure out is going to get measured back to you again. Before you know it, you're going to have something that comes down and you got to be out or something you didn't get to do. Before you know it, now the person you frowned upon it, you kept saying this, when they going to get it, when they going to get it. Be careful. Just be faithful to Elohim and work on you. I can tell you, you're going to have your hands full working on you. You don't have to work on somebody else. Your hands will be full. Just me working on me. My hands are full. I don't have time to work on anybody else. And the more you study the Torah and you apply your life to it, you're going to see that God, he's gracious to us, because you start reading this stuff and you go, man, I got to do this. I ain't even doing this yet. He's gracious to it because he's giving you an opportunity to speak, and he knows you're not there yet, but he's getting you there. But you got to be faithful to it. You got to be consistent in it. You can't be somebody who's, well, I'm in the ministry. I'm going to go into ministry. Yep, I'm in the ministry. And then you're not in the ministry. I never knew how that worked. I just never knew that. To me, when I vowed my vow to God, that was it. There's no question. That was it. I'm committed to it. And there's days you don't feel like it. There's days you don't feel like it at all. But that don't mean the vow's going. He ain't going to say, oh, yeah, I see you're having a hard time. It's over with. Don't worry about it. He's not telling you that. He is worried about it because you made a commitment. His loving commitment to you is not stopped. When I look at my life and how gracious he's been to me, his loving commitment to me has never stopped. Even while we were sinners, he still had loving commitment to us. And I want to show him loving commitment back. So when it gets hard, that's when you press in even more. When it gets difficult, you push yourself. You push yourself when it's difficulty. And you'll see the hand of God. And let me tell you, we're going to see this in the life of Yaakov. Because it gets difficult for him. Right now, he kind of eased in, got this stone, and man, it's wonderful. The ladder's there. Jehovah's there. He's having a good time. But it won't be long. He's going to wrestle. It won't be long. He's got it coming. But he's cut out for it. Yaakov's cut out for it. He's passionate about it. He's not going to let go because he knows coming out of him, he's going to be tricked from Laban. He's going to be tricked. All this stuff's coming his way. Cause and effect on him because you're following Jehovah. It still happens, but you got the power and the strength to get through it. You got a good attitude to get through it. Listen, who was following Jehovah more closely than Joseph was? And look at all the trouble he went through. But he knew that if I could praise him in my trouble, I'm going to be victorious in the end. And God made him shine. And that's what he wants you to do. Let me tell you, you're not shining too bright when you're on the first rung. The moment you get to the top up there and you stand next to Jehovah, you got to shine because you're next to Him. But if we think our job's ending, it's not ending there. You ascend and descend. Ascend and descend. Why am I ascending and descending? Why would I get to the top and want to come back down? Because you got a brother and a sister, a family member. You got somebody who needs some help. And sometimes we got to come off of our high horse and come down where the little people are and say, listen, we can do this thing together. Don't ever think because you got to the top, that's all it is for you. You made it. I made it. I ain't got to worry no more. Sometimes you're going to get your hands dirty still. Sometimes you're going to have to get out and do stuff you used to do years ago, but you're still going to have to get there and do it. You say, man, I ain't done this in a long time. How many times have I said that? Man, it's been a long time since I did this way. Sometimes you go back to that and you appreciate where you've been. You appreciate it. You know that God's been good to you. It's very important. On his way to Haran, Jacob came upon a place, and the root word used for came upon is Pagah. Strong's H6293, it means to meet, encounter, reach, entreat, and join. And so he came to a place where he would encounter a life-changing dream, where he discovered the pure presence of Jehovah and was given the clear assurance of having Jehovah with him wherever he would go, with the promise of bringing him back to this land. What a promise. Listen, I had a promise. That's the only reason I survived this. This whole transition, I survived it on a promise. I had a promise. Now, that promise didn't come to me easy. It took faith. I had to trust God. I had to be willing to go where He wanted me to go to receive the message. And in this case, it wasn't in Beerus. But it was in a place called California, a place I'd never been before. Think about that. See, God will take you from one spot to get you to another spot, because the spot He's trying to get you to is where He's going to give you the word He wants you to hear. And that's what He did. And He gave me that word, and I think about that. Think about your life. Think about if you'd have stayed doing what you were doing. Think about that. But He took you from a place to another place to show you what He had purpose for your life. It's a beautiful thing. The hand of God is all over us. It's so beautiful. And He took me to that place and gave me a word. Now that word had to mean something to me. So some people hear a word, and I gave a word to a lot of people here. I gave a lot of words to people here. But it's got to mean something to you. I'm just the messenger. And that word will come to you, and you can say, well, that's just Pastor Jesse told me that. Or you can say, Jehovah spoke through the messenger, gave me this message. And it's got to mean something to you. If it don't mean nothing to you, what do you expect Jehovah to do? Are you pursuing that message that you got? Are you actively involved in pursuing that? You ought to be. When somebody prophesies over your life or anything, gives a word to you, you got to be actively pursuing that with everything that's in you. So when the Lord said, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed, I become my passion. It literally became my passion. I'd go to bed thinking about it, wake up thinking about it, I'd work thinking about it. Whatever I was doing, I was thinking about that. What are you talking about? I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm set, the set apart spirit's alive in me. I don't know what you mean by that. But it became my passion until the Lord seen I was in a position now for Him to show me. And in getting in that spot, He shows you, you never come out of that. You never come out of it. Because it does that. That's the difference. But notice what the prophecy said. That I'd go through a transformation. Our life would change. And it had many elements of that. You'll preach like a man from a different world. None of that makes sense. Where I was, did that make sense to me? What does that mean, Lord? Your revelation levels will increase. Your eyes will shoot fire. Think about that. I'm like, wow, that sounds like sci-fi to me. Bing. There's one guy that's there's one of these Avengers that got the fire eyes. I don't know which one it is, but you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, what is that? You know, if I tell that to people, they ain't coming to church. They ain't coming. I'll, if you don't listen, I'll put the eye on you. So can you understand having that type of download from Jehovah and you go home with that and you got to sleep at night? It don't work. And you're trying to figure out why, Lord. What is this all about? But he was trying to take us somewhere. He was trying to say, listen, it's time to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a mind to know. And if you yield to me, I'll unfold it for you. I'll do it the way I want to do it, but you can't. Sometimes you got to yield to him. I mean, understand yielding to him is where you say, Lord, where you want my feet to go, that's where they'll go. Where you want my ears to go, that's what they'll hear. Where you want my eyes to see, that's what they'll see. But if you don't lead me, I don't want to hear it, I don't want to see it, I don't want to be involved in it. So immediately what I did, the stuff that I was involved in prior to that, I got disconnected from. Well, that don't go over so well because people say, well, man, why are you not connected with that no more? Why are you not? You have to understand the reason behind it is because Jehovah is trying to bring you somewhere. He's trying to get you to understand something, and you can't be distracted by anything. And the moment the distractions go away, it unfolds and you see it clearly. And you, but the, my thing was, and I was always big on the Word of God. Everybody knows that. You know that I was always a teacher of the Word of God. And I, if I'm going to explain something in the Bible, I'm going to show you what the text says. So that was always a passion I had. And so I said to the Lord, I said, I understand all this stuff, Lord. I know it's you, but you got to show it to me. You got to show me in the Word what you say in this. Where is this at? Because we took on some pretty big items right up front that just wasn't right when it came to the Word of God, especially when I looked into His glory and I saw there was a clear distinction between the Most High and His Son. Clear distinction. And even His own Son says, why do you call me good? There's none good but one. I'm like, okay, why I didn't see this? So I quit asking why I didn't see it, and I started seeing it. Because you can get caught in the why game for years and just be questioning everything for years. You can't, you're in a worse spot than you started. The moment you quit questioning what Jehovah is revealing to you and you just live in the moment is the moment He can use you in a great way. And that's what Jacob had to do. He had to quit asking why this and why that. He just fell right into it and said, this is the spot in this place. And he proved it when he woke up. He stood it up as a standing stone. He anointed with oil. When that thing got anointed, it was the power. He said, this is going to be the place of the house of El. That's a wonderful thing. And so this is incredible what God is doing. I'm just so taken by it. And so he came to a place where he would encounter the life-changing dream, where he discovered the pure presence of Jehovah and was given the clear assurance of having Jehovah with him wherever he would go, with the promise of bringing him back to the land, this land. I would like to briefly look at this word as it is written in the ancient pictograph script in order to give a powerful illustration of the encounter that he had. In the ancient script, the word Pagah, Strong's 86293, is pictured as followed from right to left. So you see there's two. It's or, as or are. Let me see that. Now you're seeing something that you've never seen before. I may see that on this far left over here, you're seeing what appears to be a rope. So we say, what's that, right? Everybody say, what's that? That's what I said. What's that? The reason I say either or is that the letter iron, go to your letter iron. If you got a chart, you look at your letter iron. And you're going to see in early Hebrew, the iron would be described as a rope, a twisted rope. It's pictured either as the eye or a twisted rope, both rendered as silent. They're silent at the end of a word. So they're not pronounced, they're silent. As we look at the meaning of each of these pictographic letters, we can see a powerful meaning of what can truly mean to encounter Elohim. Now, when you encounter Elohim, you're not coming out of that encounter the same. Never, ever you come out of that encounter the same. Now, we know that Yaakov had an encounter. He didn't come out the same. And he had a different encounter when he wrestled. Did he come out of that the same? He came out of that with a limp. Because you never have an encounter with Yehovah and come out the same, ever. Pei, this letter in ancient script, is pictured as an open mouth and carries the meaning of to speak or blow from the function of the mouth, and can have the meaning of scatter by blowing. It can also mean sword or beard, as in things with edges, as well as a region in depicting a place with the edge or boundary. It can also represent that which has been spoken forth from the words of one's mouth as being established. The gimbal, this letter gimbal, which in ancient script is pictured as a foot, carries the meaning of walk, gather, or carry, as clearly referring to the function of a foot. It can also give the meaning of a gathering of people. As we know, the feet in the Hebrew often speak of one's walk and ability to keep the feast of Yehovah. And in the ayin, the original pictograph of this letter is represented in the idea of seeing and watching, as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge and can also render the concept of knowledge revealed. The illustration of a rope is also very interesting. As an alternative picture, it can render that to which one has bound themselves to by what their eyes are focused on. If your eyes are focused on Yehovah, then you're going to be bound to him. Now, we know that the ayin, if the eyes, the thing you behold, you become. Now, we learned those lessons. Didn't we learn those lessons? And we're going to learn them again. They're going to come up again. Because I'm quickly reminded of what Yaakov did. He took the stick, put it in front of the sheep, and the thing they beheld, they became. Same thing. So this rope here, I put a little graph in there for you. I know you can't see it because I can barely see it on mine. But this is early Hebrew. So if you have a chart, it should give you early Hebrew. Now, the reason it's not used, because there's very little inscriptions that we have found. But was it used? Absolutely it was. In early Hebrew, this was used because the thing that you're looking at, you're tied to. You're tied to it. And so if we're going to put our eyes, if we're going to say we're going to focus on Yehovah, we're going to serve him, should we not be tied to him? You better believe we should be tied to him. We ought to be hooked to him and not let go. You don't want to be turned loose of him. And this is a very important principle for us. If you're going to look to him with the eye in the eye, if you're going to behold him, you're going to become him. That's exactly what's going to happen. So the more you study Torah, you're going to be able to be Torah observant. You're going to be more like Yeshua, because that's exactly what he studied. And he studied it very well. And this just gets into it when he starts explaining himself about the scripture. He talks about scripture. When Yeshua talks about scripture, he's trying to get you to understand what he's talking about. So he gives you a quote from the Torah. When he makes a reference to scripture, he gives you a quote from it. And I don't know how, that to me is so plain. But when your eyes get open, you can see it plain. When your eyes are still fogged up, you don't see it. And it's like you're speaking a different language to people. And they'll snort at you. Don't come to me with that. You've been snorted at before. If you haven't, then you ain't saying enough. If you ain't been snorted at before, you ain't saying enough. Sometimes God will give you more of a tolerance for loud snoring or snorting, and you'll say more. But you got to be patient and wait on Yehovah. Because the mission's there. We the messengers, and the mission's there. But you got to listen to him. He's the one that directs our path to do that. So I hope that you see this. I'm not going to read this whole thing. You can find this. And some of you already have a chart. You should have it in your chart, because it's going to do early pictograph symbols that relates to ayin. It's going to be the rope, twisted rope. And it kind of gives you the history and reconstruction of this as it goes from the twisted rope to the letter we now have in what's modern Hebrew. It's the letters that we actually learn is modern Hebrew, but the pictograph would be late Hebrew. So even middle Hebrew is an O. See it? So we got all four examples of how you can do it either or here. To me, the reason we put it in here is to show you how being tied to what your eyes behold is so important. Because we tied to different things. When we was in the world, we was tied to the world. That's all we spoke. We spoke their language. We spoke that language. We sang their songs. We did it all. And you're reminded of that sometimes when you go to a place or somebody has a beat on. It grabs you from where you are, tour keep, and brings you all the way back to a spot in your memory. And you go, right there, you go, oh, God, I'm so thankful you took me out of that. I'm so grateful I'm tied to you now. And what makes me happy, that used to make me happy, but what makes me happy now is when I sing praise to you. What gives me joy now is when I spend time with you, when I'm reading your Torah, it gives me joy. But we're reminded not to go back and make jokes about what it was. We're reminded to showing us, I did that for you. I was merciful to you. Because if he'd left us there, we wouldn't be alive today. He didn't. He saw and said, you're going to be my messenger. You're going to find that spot. You're going to find that spot. When you find it, you won't want to leave it. And it's the truth. You don't want to leave it. You find that spot and you want to just jump in with everything you got. And think about it. Sometimes you just got a half hitch to it. I mean, tie it tight and hook to it. And so that's why the reason to put that twisted rope in there, because it is tied to it. In the early Semitic languages, it's tied to it. We can also find great meaning in the above in Yaakov's encounter, as we also understand the Hebrew word used for feet, which is regel. Strong's 87272 means a foot, feet, or to walk. And in scriptures often speaks of one's obedience to walk according to the commands of Yehovah and obey his call to keep his feasts and commands, as the same word is used in Leviticus 23 and translated as times, in referring to the three times a year all males would appear before Elohim in Jerusalem, marking out the clear need to walk according to his word and guard his appointed times or feast of Yehovah. So think about it. That same word is translated as times, regel. He's showing us that. In ancient script, the word regel is written as followed. So we have the resh. The script has this letter as the head of a man and as the meaning of the head of a man, as well as chief, top, beginning, or first. Top as in the top or head of a body. Chief as in the head of a tribe or people, as well as the one who rules the people. Let me just ask this question, because I'm just reminded of this. If Yeshua is the head and he's the ladder, wouldn't you want to be on the ladder, ascending and descending as the operation of his body? The work, the ladder is the provision to get you somewhere, get you to Yehovah and back to man. To Yehovah and back to man. To Yehovah and back. When you go to Yehovah, you're going to come back empty-handed? Are you going to come back with no information? Are you going to come back with lots of information, lots of learning, and a new sense in this encounter, and you hook to him? And then when you come back to man, you're bringing the message. It's a beautiful picture. It makes all the sense in the world to me. So we want to put it as somebody else. The angels are doing it. The angels are ascending and descending. But what about men ascending and descending? What about that? I think it's very important, something we should take note of. This letter, the Gimel, with an ancient script, is pictured as a foot, carries the meaning of walk, gather, carry, also clearly referring to the function of a foot, and it can also give the meaning of gathering of people. As we know, the feet in Hebrew speaks of one's walk and ability to keep the feast of Yehovah and represents one's walk. Amen? And the lamet, in ancient script, has this picture as a shepherd's staff representing authority, and can give the meaning of to or toward, and can represent that which pushes or pulls a flock in a direction, and can speak of authority or a yoke that is used to lead and guide, as well as the ability to bring back by authority, as well as submit under the authority of the Good Shepherd. When looking at these pictograph letters in terms of understanding our needed obedience to keep the feast of Yehovah, we are able to clearly understand the message in this as, in our walk of obedience, we gather as commanded, as we are led under the authority of our head. Think about that. Now, this is not just us making this up. We learn this because Yeshua tells us this. The beginning of our walk of obedience is to submit under the authority of the Good Shepherd and guard his appointed times of gathering. The Hebrew letter, Lamed, has a numerical value of 30, and its name, Lamed, is based on the word Lamed, Strong's 3925, which carries the meaning to exercise in, learn, instruct, teach, and train. And so we see that by the age of 30, a priest should have been trained and instructed in the ways of the Torah and learn all that they can and be ready to now go and work, do the work of service. So just see yourself, we're in training now. I mean, we're all in training. I'm so glad to be in training, I can't tell you how thankful I am. In understanding that this pictographic symbol is another clear picture in its meaning to be instructed and led by the shepherd, the Good Shepherd, Messiah was 30 years old when he began his duty of the priesthood as reckoned by Torah. David began to rule at 30 years old. Joseph, too, was given rule of Mitzrayim at 30 years of age, all shadow pictures of our king and high priest. So the Torah instructed that? Did they go out of bounds? None of them. They had to patiently wait. And we patiently waited. How many thank God that we patiently waited? And Jehovah decided, it's time to move. And that's what he did. And I'm so thankful for it. Why I felt it necessary to show these two words in regards to the encounter that Yaakov had at the place he came to on his way to fetch his bride is that it carries a great lesson in showing us that Yaakov, although running from his angry brother, was indeed in the process of being refined and made mature. It was now time to put away childish things and grow up, so to speak, and now having left his father and mother behind, he was set on a journey to becoming Israel. Now, the task set before Yaakov was big. And he had to get out of the bickering back and forth with his brother, the fighting back and forth as brothers do over what happened. He had to get over that because the task at hand is big. And out of his loins is going to come 12 tribes, and he's got to be ready and prepared. He's got to be equipped, and Yehovah was going to equip him to get him ready. We too must understand that as we come out of systems of man-made worship and seek to walk in the pure ways of Yehovah, we too need to realize that this faith walk is a trying walk that will refine and purify us and purge us from all of that which does not belong. So we give this scripture again. Now we've had this about three times now. When I was a child in 1 Corinthians 3:13, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I did away with childish matters. So I want you to look back in past years, we were nothing but children. We did children things. We behaved as children. We had an understanding of children. That's it. But then we became a man. We put away childish matters. And now God is preparing us to get us ready for what's to come. And I'm thankful that we're being prepared. Amen? How many thankful that you're being prepared? While we too do not know for certain, we can suspect that this place that Yaakov came to may have been in the location where his father, Yitzhak, was put on the altar, and in being offered up by Abraham, was substituted with a ram from Yehovah. It may also be that Yaakov took one of the stones from the slaughter place to lay his head on, and so we see the clear shadow picture of Messiah being clearly established as the head of Israel, the chief cornerstone. Now I want you to think about this. Why would we even suggest this? It's because this is what this clan did. When Abraham, he would share with Isaac, this is what we do. And so then they would share with Yaakov. We've been to this place and we built an altar, and they were still standing. They didn't tear the altar down. It was still standing. It was to Jehovah. And so when Yaakov gets there, he gets to this place, he sees these stones, he reaches to the altar and lays one down, and because off that altar that was made, we ultimately got to get a redeemer. And now God's really having to get fine-tuned here with how he's going to work to get this redeemer to us. And it amazes me, even in our mess-ups, he works through all our mess, and he can still bring about the miracle. So I want you to never give up on what you got going on in your life. And maybe you made a mess of things, but don't quit, don't give up, because even in our mess, he can work miracles if we'll just submit to him and repent from our mistakes and show him that we really want to serve him. He can take a bad situation, turn around for our good, amen? So he's the master at it, and we see him do it time and time again. Genesis 49:24. But his bow remains in strength, and his arm of his hand were made strong by the hand of the mighty one of Yaakov. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So this was urgent that he gets it right. From there was the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So I want you to see these different stones that are following Yaakov around. He gets this stone, used as a pillow, and he stands it as a standing stone, and he calls it the house of El. And then later on, in Genesis 49, he talks about this stone of Israel. Think about it. So ultimately, he's going to be the product of what's going to produce our Mashiach. And I'm so grateful that Yaakov was being sensitive to the things of God. The shepherd of Israel is also the stone of Israel. And the Hebrew word for stone is Eben, Strong's 868, meaning stone, cornerstone, differing weights, plumb line, and comes from the root word Bana, Strong's H1129, meaning to build, besiege, construct, fortify, or rebuild. And this blessing Yaakov gives to Yosef in Genesis 49:24, we are able to see how the life of Yosef was truly a shadow picture of Messiah, who would come forth and shepherd Israel. Amen? I'll stop there because we're done on time. Not because I want to, but Pastor Josh is well capable of taking it from here, and it gets real good. I think there's a commercial about being real good. It gets real, real good. So, listen, take some time to read the scripture. Even if you read the text, just read it and then read it again. Then read it again. Then just read it again. And for good measure, read it again. And just keep your mind open. I'm telling you, the Lord will work amazing things. Because listen, you're talking about I had no concept of the Torah whatsoever as far as calling it that. Yet I was open-minded to what the Lord showed me in 2005. I was open-minded to it. And I read it over and over again. And I kept reading it. And the Lord, through my ignorance of it, was able to shape it in a way that I can get it. That I could take it in, I could chew on it, I could swallow it, and I can be nourished by it, so it gives me strength to go to the next step. Because that's how it happens. It comes a little bit at a time, and you embrace it, and you give God the glory for it, because truly, outside of Him doing it for us, we couldn't have done it for ourselves. And He deserves all the praise and all the glory and all the honor for it. We ought to be so grateful for Him. Amen? Any good? Anybody need prayer?